Welcome to Become Unstoppable with Andre Nell. That's the series we're starting today, and joining me all the way from China is Andre Nell. Andre Nell, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on, Ion.
No, it's great
it's
having you.
It's a pleasure to be here, yeah.
Yes, welcome to E-Radio. So today we are just introducing you to our listeners, and then from next week we will start tackling some interesting topics. But you are a mindset coach. What exactly is a mindset coach?
That's quite a big question. So a lot of people will be more familiar with a life coach, you know, is somebody who kind of helps you through some challenges that you're facing in life, or, you know, helps you to work towards a specific goal. There are a lot of kind of niches in coaching and life coaching and mindset coaching. But specifically, I call myself a mindset coach because I believe that your mindset, you know, the collection of beliefs that you have about yourself and about the world, kind of shape how you see everything and do everything and the choices you make. So as a mindset coach, my specific specialty and niche is helping people to become unstoppable. Now, I'll elaborate on that a bit further, but basically what I do is I help people move from feeling stuck or overwhelmed or a bit directionless to feeling more filled with an unstoppable belief and confidence and joy in the pursuit of their goals and their desires.
That sounds amazing. Now, just going back in history, you were born and raised here in South Africa, and then you obtained your degree in psychology, and then you moved to China with your wife. And I take my hat off to you because you actually lived through the COVID pandemic in China. That was ground zero.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've got it was a very interesting time in my life and my wife's life, and I don't think a lot of people can say they did that. Despite everything, I'm really grateful that I'm here and that I got to experience that. And it kind of shaped me in a way that, you know, because I went through it, and not a lot of people have been through something like that. And there were some times when we woke up and the door to our building was closed and we couldn't get outside.
Sure.
Like I mentioned, there was a period of time, you know, where we had to do COVID tests every single day. I'm not sure if you know, but in China, they had like a health code system, you know. Mm. And so if you were tested and you were tested negative, your health code was green, and that allowed you to move around. But if it was orange or red, you basically could leave your community, let's say, but you couldn't necessarily get into a car like a taxi or some other kind of transportation like that. And you certainly couldn't go into the shops or anything like that. So it was a difficult time, to say the least. Yeah, it was challenging.
It must have been the ultimate psychological test. I don't think a lot of people, especially if you weren't born in China, to go through something like that. And I mean, it was for all of us around the world, it was basically it felt like we were part of a movie, one of those end of the world pandemic movies.
Yeah.
And there you are in China, ground zero. Wow.
Yeah. It was certainly, I mean, to be on topic, it was a mindset thing, you know. It depended a lot on how you viewed the challenges or the kind of conditions that were given to you. You know, if you kind of soaked it all in and got really frustrated or angry at, I don't know, them, the government, whoever was putting these conditions on you, it wasn't something that you could really control. So
yeah,
mindset played a big part in it, you know. For example, when we had to do daily testing, I preferred doing it like right at the beginning of the day. Like I would get up and I just wanted to get it over with, you know. But a lot of other people preferred it not to kind of be the first thing that they do in their day. They wanted to have control of their day and do what they want to do first before, you know, doing the mandatory thing. So it showed how people, you know, view the world and view themselves and how they want to react to things.
I think we all came out differently after that. I mean, for me, also now you're saying about stuff you can't control. I think for me, from the pandemic, the thing I learned was stop worrying about stuff you can't control. I mean, there's absolutely nothing you can do. You can shout at the president on TV when he's, announcing the latest lockdown phases. Yeah. That's something we've done a few times, you know. You can do whatever you like. It's nothing. You can't do anything. Just go with it. And even with the load shedding situation in South Africa, I'm not even worried about it anymore because I cannot do anything about it. So I accepted it. I'm not saying it is acceptable or normal, but I learned to live with it or live around it like most South Africans do. You know, we're quite a resilient bunch here in South Africa. But I think I would say from the pandemic, for me, the main thing was that I learned was that you can't control everything and stop worrying about it. And since then, I must say, I'm actually a bit more chilled.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think there's a lot of positives that came out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, was it now like 3 years later or I don't know how many?
Three, four,
later,
yeah.
2 years later.
Mm.
For us in China, it's more recent.
Oh, okay.
We've only been out of lockdown for a year and a bit now. There are certainly so many positives that you can take out of it, because I think a lot of people, including myself, had to learn how to actually communicate in a kind way to the people around us, because those were the only people that we could kind of have contact with, you know. We couldn't be rude or unkind to others, and we couldn't just kind of brush them off or ignore them, like perhaps sometimes we did if our day was busy or something like that. We had to learn to be kind and friendly to one another and help one another, because we all actually experienced the same thing in a lot of ways, which very rarely happens to the whole world's population.
Yeah, and that's obviously also why they referred to it as the great equalizer. In many ways, I think it made us all equal. But so you survived that, Andre, and I'm very, very pleased to hear that. And your website is, you have a very sassy website. I like it. What's that? You want to hear some fun facts? Well, all right then, if you insist, his website says. And then I see you're a bit of a bookworm and a nerd.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm proud to say that.
Yeah,
Always enjoyed. I've enjoyed reading and learning. Mm-hmm. I believe it's never time to stop learning. You know, I'm a teacher, but I'm also a student.
Yeah.
And in school I was a nerd. At university I was a nerd. I enjoy succeeding academically and knowing things. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I embrace that part of myself.
And a lot of nerds invented technology, you know, and social media and stuff. Yeah. So, got to say thank you to the nerds, you know.
Do you classify yourself as a bit of a nerd?
I definitely. I was a total nerd in school, but I'm still a bit of a nerd now. Yeah.
Yeah. And look at you. You've got a radio station like that.
That's also a nerdy
incredible
thing. Yeah. Because it's technology.
I think it's quite cool.
I don't know.
You get to tell to other people.
It's true. It's true. And then, you know what I like? Also, on your website, you say, I once accidentally wrote a short book. Now, how on earth did this happen?
So, it was when I first... That's a good question. It was when I first started coaching. So, I went through, you know, my training, really, really rigorous training, and got my certification. And I wanted some way to share what I had just learned about the mind and mindsets in general, and how we kind of process our reality and you know, like how does our mindset really work in broad terms. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to record two or three short videos on the mind, either to share on my website or, I don't know, post on YouTube or social media or something. You know, I was still new to this. And I decided I'm not smart enough or knowledgeable enough about the content yet. Like, I haven't mastered it enough to wing it. So I should write out my script. And I used my note-taking app to do that. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote my script for the first video and the second and the third. And when I copied it onto a Word document, I realized that the font was really small. It was like size 8. But For some reason, on the note-taking app, it looked fine. Then I made it a size 10 or a size 11 or 12. And it came out to about 25, 30 pages, these three video scripts. And I thought, hang on a minute, like, this isn't just a video script. This could be like a short ebook, you know? Yeah. People sell ebooks that are 5 pages long. This could be a short ebook. And so I turned it into an ebook, which I offer for free on my website now. And yeah, that's the story of how I wrote a short book accidentally.
Okay, but you know, they love curious to find out about the last bullet point where you say you accidentally had a pet tortoise for 2 days and then he ran away. Is that actually real or was that just a joke?
Yeah. No, that is true.
What?
That is true. It's something for some reason that stuck with me throughout my whole life. So I have a brother. He is about 2.5 years younger than I am. And although I am a nerd, I'm also an athlete. I love sports. I think sports, like, I'm basically a nerdy sportsman. That's how I should actually describe myself. And so my brother and I, we used to play cricket in the backyard a lot. And our one childhood home had quite a big backyard with a really nice kind of garden around the outside. With these really, you know, if I was an animal that ate plants, I would love our garden because we had these nice, like, leafy bushes and things, like shrubs, I don't know, you know. So I guess that's why the tortoise came. Like, one day we were playing cricket, and one of us, either myself or my brother, hit the ball into, you know, like the garden bit, not the grass. And we went looking for the ball because, like I said, there are some thick bushes and shrubs, so sometimes it was quite like an Easter egg hunt to find the tennis ball. And while we were looking, we found a tortoise. And we obviously ran inside, told our mom, told our dad, and, you know, she came out and we decided, yeah, this is our pet tortoise now. And we left some, like, kind of lettuce leaves outside for the tortoise to chomp on. And we came back the next day from school. He was still there eating on the leaves, you know, he just wandered around the garden. He didn't get very far because he's a tortoise and tortoises are notoriously slow.
Yeah.
And the next day he was just kind of gone.
And that's
I guess he kind of, I don't know how he got in, but I'm assuming the way he got in is the same way he got out.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the story of how we had an accidental pet tortoise for 2 days. So 100% the truth. I'm not lying to you.
Yeah, but that's quite a cute story. So, Andre, you obviously you got a degree in psychology. How did you decide to not just be a practicing psychologist, but to actually go a step further and go into mindset coaching? Or can you be both?
Well, yeah, I think you could be both. The thing is with becoming a practicing psychologist, so you need a degree and then you need a further 2 years of study, like a master's degree basically, in order to be an official practicing psychologist. It's really an intense process, because in the last 2 years, that's where you do a lot of your practical work. You know, you start seeing clients and you start working with people. In the first 3 or 4 years, which is what I did, 4 years, you learn theories and you write a thesis, but you don't necessarily start working with people yet. So it all ties in with how I moved to China. After my kind of fourth year of studying, I took a look at the master's selection process at my university. I studied in the Free State and at some of the other universities, and I saw kind of, you know, what they're looking for. They're looking for life experience, and things like that, where going out and having seen the world and interacted with people, you know, really is to your benefit. And I felt at that stage that that just wasn't me, you know. I was a bookworm, I was a nerd, an athlete, but yeah, I wasn't a social butterfly, you know. I wasn't necessarily a people's person. So after my 4 years, I decided, you know, that this is not the best course for me, is to do 2 years master's. I wasn't sure if I was going to get in or not, even though, like I mentioned, I did do well academically. So that's why I moved to China. And only recently did I discover the world of coaching. And I found that it was a much better use of my kind of skills and knowledge and expertise, because coaching is a lot more, I'm not going to say hands-on, but it's a lot more practical and focused on the now compared to psychology and what therapists may do in a counseling session. So as a mindset coach, we do touch on things that happened in the past, but only insofar as how they affect now and how we can change them to improve the future. Whereas I think psychology takes a much longer approach to those kinds of challenges and to a person's life. Not necessarily to the extent to affect change. It's more of like a cathartic conversational process. Whereas coaching is more specifically aimed at reaching goals and outcomes. And that kind of matches with my personality a bit more. I'm very driven. I like to achieve things, you know. I'm purpose driven, so I don't necessarily like to do things for the sake of doing them, which is a blessing and a curse sometimes, because sometimes you just need to, you know, relax, unwind, and do things for the joy. But as a coach, I get to help people achieve change, and it's a direct goal of coaching. Whereas with being a practicing psychologist, depending on which discipline, you know, I don't want to generalize it too much. It's more just about, you know, helping the client unpack and just speak and experience some catharsis. So I think that's why I tend more towards coaching, because it's very goal driven, you know, outcomes driven, and I enjoy that.
Good answer there, Andre. And obviously you do online sessions as well with people, which means they can be anywhere in the world, and do they necessarily need a computer, a camera on their computer, or can it be over the phone? How do you prefer doing your sessions? Do you want to see the client?
Yeah, I generally, seeing the client is better. There are a few, you know, kind of processes or techniques in my coaching program where seeing the client is essential, because, you know, as anybody who works with other people, you need to be able to pick up on their body language, their facial expression. You know those moments where you ask somebody a question and they just smile from ear to ear, and you can just tell, you know, like this really touches them or impacts them. As a coach, it's really important for me to be able to see those moments, because that's an insight that I can gain and share with that person that they might not even be aware of themselves, you know.
And you can't
I think the fact that I'm speaking so much about coaching might even be an indicator to you that I love it so much. You know, these kinds of things, you kind of do need that video connection for.
Yeah, and you can't hear that smile, you know. You need to see it. I totally agree with you.
Exactly, yeah. But with that being said, you know, a lot of people wonder, Is it worse or better, you know, being online or being in person? And it was a question I had at the beginning of my coaching career as well, which it's strange, because, you know, when you're speaking to people, there's kind of an energetic exchange, right? You know, when we jumped onto this call, immediately we connected and we chatted, and there was kind of an energy and a connection between us. And what's amazing is that this can happen even if you're in person or online, I don't know, thousands of kilometers away like we are.
Yeah.
There's still that kind of energy exchange. So I think both in person and online over Zoom calls, that's how I prefer Zoom calls, but any other kind of video conferencing, they're both incredibly powerful. And whether you do it online or in person, there is a real powerful energetic exchange which can create change, and it does really impact the conversation immensely.
And then obviously, you know, people want to do sessions with you. Can they book through the website, or how would they get in touch with you? And what can they expect? Is it a few sessions? How does it work?
So I love people to go to my website. I like it when people, you know, like you, read through my website and get to know me a bit better, because I spend a lot of time on my website.
I can see that. Well,
so
done.
Yeah, I love people to go to my website, and there's a bookings page on my website, which has, you know, all of my available hours, and it's a very simple process. You know, you click your time and your date, and I know I'm in China, but the times pop up in your time zone. So if you were to go on my website, it would show, you know, in South African time. the beauty of technology, right? And so, yeah, you click the button, you make the appointment, and the whole program is kind of, it's about 18 to 20 hours. So that's the kind of basics of it. Whether the person wants to do it once a week or twice a week or smash it out over a few weekends, that's up to them, and that's up to, you know, kind of how me and the client, you know, have availability in our schedule. And so the sessions are generally about an hour to 2 hours. And yeah, if I could kind of sum up the coaching program briefly, because it's difficult to just generalize, you know, I would say the first part is a lot about discovery. The second part of the program is all about letting go and uprooting the negative beliefs and emotions and the inner conflicts that we have. And the third part is what I call the unstoppable phase. That's where we start going after your goals, building up your self-confidence, your self-image, you know, getting in those habits that will help you to become successful, or at least feel joy or whatever outcome it is that the person is seeking. You know, the unstoppable phase really helps you to move towards that. Because if you can imagine, you've let go of, you know, your fears and your doubts and your worries, you kind of need to replace that with something. And so the last part of my coaching program focuses on that and helping the person to, like I said, become unstoppable.
And then the website is, of course, AndreNellCoaching.com. Yeah. So, Andre, yeah. Andre, also, tell me quickly, what can we expect from this podcast called Become Unstoppable with Andre Nell in the weeks to come?
That's a great question, you know. I enjoy, you know, the conversational style podcast. So we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of things. I'd love to tackle the concept of mindset a lot more during our conversations. I plan on talking a lot about habits in the first few episodes as well, because I think I myself and a lot of us people, we enjoy practical advice and tips. And so I think habits is a great place to start, where we can kind of be general and speak about practical things that people can do and how people can incorporate unstoppable habits or habits that will make them unstoppable into their daily life. And from there, you know, we can speak about goals and beliefs and values and emotions and just the world. We can speak about life, because coaching is about life. You know, everybody's life is different. And I'd love to hear, you know, your thoughts and your questions about, like, what's piquing your curiosity. And I'd love to hear what people who are listening think about coaching and what they'd like to know and what they'd like help on, because ultimately, I think this podcast series, it's not going to be about me or about you, but it's about helping people who are listening. That's the main aim. And more than that, I just hope to have really energetic conversations with you that really bring a lot of value to people who are listening. And I hope to inspire people. That's what I think this podcast is going to do.
Yes, I like that. That's very good. A nice positive difference in people's lives. Because as somebody said the other day, the world at the moment is a real dumpster fire. So we got to find new ways to make us feel better and be positive. One of them is actually laughter yoga. There's a lady on my Facebook. She's doing laughter yoga. And I find it so funny how she is laughing her problems off. I think that's brilliant.
You've got to tell me more about that. How does laughter yoga work?
It's crazy. It's almost like yoga, but you laugh a lot, and then you inhale, and then you laugh, and then obviously they do it in this class, and then you've got all these people laughing at the same time, and you know how that goes. When one person starts laughing, maybe he or she's got a funny laugh as well. They snort, and then the next thing you know, everybody's laughing. So I think that's also a pretty good idea. Yeah. Pretty good idea, laughter yoga. I never knew about it before I checked out her Facebook page, but I think that's absolutely brilliant. Finding new ways to laugh it off and to cope with the world. I think one of my coping mechanisms is laughter. Every day I read the news and it's just horrible, and I've got to filter out stories, you know, to not be so heavy. But I find that obviously I don't laugh at people's problems, but I laugh at the world and the chaos that's going on at the moment, you know, and the greed and just, it's just crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what do you have a joke on hand that you think would make people laugh right now?
A joke? Oh no, you know what? Yeah. That's the thing about me, when you put me on the spot like that, I just go blank. So then I've got no information. 404 error, not found.
The only jokes I know are dad jokes, and I
give us one.
I haven't told a joke on the spot in a long time.
You started it, okay. So you gotta tell a joke now.
I guess I gotta follow through, right?
Yes.
All right, I'll tell the lamest joke that I know, which is the only one I could think of right now.
Okay.
Okay, here it is. Why should you never trust stairs?
Stairs?
Yeah, like steps.
No, I don't know.
Because they're always up to something.
I get it. That is definitely a dad joke, but
that's the lamest good. Dad joke I know. Yeah, I'm not even a dad.
Oh, that's funny, man. That's funny. And on that note, we say goodbye for now, and then really looking forward to next week with you again, Andre, where we will be diving into mindset and talking about that more in depth. But it was nice in this podcast now today to just to get you to know you a bit better.
Yeah, thank you. It was really wonderful to speak to you, and I'm really excited for all the episodes to come. I think it's just going to be brilliant.
Same here, definitely. And thank you. Big thank you to you, Andre, all the way from China. Can you believe this, eh? All the way from China. I can't get past technology and how amazing it is nowadays. It's almost like people are too easy to contact, you know. That's another topic we must talk about one day, about being online 24/7 and people contacting you whenever they like and wherever they like, and how that sort of affects you psychologically, because that's a problem I'm dealing with at the moment. So maybe we must talk about that as well at one stage. Yeah, people constantly think you're always online.
Speak about that, happens. I mean, China is the foundation of being on your phone 24/7. So we'll definitely have a lot of content to speak about there.
Yes, no, looking forward to that. I think we must definitely add that somewhere on the list in the days and weeks to come. But Andre, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your whatever it is in China right now. You know, the time zone plus six.
Bedtime.
Yeah.
Bedtime.
Bedtime. Off you go. And thank you so much for your time and advice. It was nice to get to know you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Yoni. It's wonderful to meet you too and speak to you as well. Have a great rest of your afternoon and evening.
Thank you. And you too. Sweet dreams.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Good night. Bye.